I miss my original headsets. I sure do. I'm waiting for a phone call from Freedom Honda because I had a couple recalls and I might have to bail to get that phone call. So far, I was able to leave work early, even though I had. It's kind of nice now because we have a benefit. Once we hit 40, we can roll over our hours into to the following week on Friday because it's like a 2 week thing. And I rolled in hours, but only worked a couple hours. I only worked like 4 hours today, maybe a little over. But I left early. I went to the comic shop. I was happy to see a lot of customers in there. I mean, it's not good because of the COVID, but everybody had masks. Some guy spent like $250. He owns a comic store in Pueblo, and he drove all the way to Colorado Springs to restock. And I guess because DC is hard to restock going through Lunar or what is the other one? I can't think of the name. UCS. Going through them, it's hard to like get reorders in. So this guy drove all the way from Pueblo, which is probably about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, without traffic, and went to this shop and spent about 200 and some dollars in Batman comics, Batman and Catwoman and Nightwing and Batgirl, just buying issues of that and Death Metal just to stock his store. So I know Ed gave him a a discount 'cause he bought so much, but that was good to see. And then there was some guy in there buying magic cards, and he bought like a lot of boxes and full case of cards. And then I only had $20 to ring up because I get most of all my stuff now from DCBS. But I missed somehow ordering the DC Cybernetic Summer, and luckily he had one. And I asked him to place a couple orders for books that I needed that I didn't order by accident. I had read last week Dead Body Road and the second volume, and I thought it was amazing. So I asked him if he could get a reorder on number two for me, and then order number three. And then I loved Bliss number one, so he ordered me a Bliss number two. So that was good. Got that all squared away. And then a bunch more customers came in. Like, I don't know if they bought anything because I left, but there was a lot of people looking at Pops, and there was a group of people that went in there for comics. That seemed like a good day for him, especially being it was, I don't know, a little after lunchtime. And yeah, it looked really good. So that was really good and promising to see. He had already gotten his order for next week of comics from Lunar. He's happy as hell with Lunar. So, but I will say that he is a very unhappy Diamond customer. So, most of the people that complain about Lunar are happy or satisfied with Diamond, and he's the opposite. So the two stores that I frequent here in Colorado Springs, mostly to get supplies, and I get boxes from one store, and then I just drop in to get other issues or back issues from this one shop. They both love Lunar, and the other shop is unique in the fact that he doesn't go through Diamond for everything, so he might like Lunar because it's just one other distributor. Like, he goes to somebody for manga that's not Diamond. He goes for his toys at Hasbro or something. I don't know. He goes there. He goes to Random House for books and trades. now he goes to Lunar for DC, and then he goes to Diamond. So it might not have affected him with bulk discounts because he didn't get a lot from Diamond to begin with. He was getting a lot of other stuff from other providers. I just got a text from Chris Ivy and Rob saying that they're good to go this weekend for a retrocast. So I have to decide what to read in the retro category. I picked up two books today. I picked up Men of War. Well, actually, it's All American Men of War, number 111. And it looks like it's got Enemy Ace story, a jet fighter story, and a story called Tag You're Dead. All it looks like it's all aerial, a triple aerial threat. There's a Johnny Cloud story, and looks really cool. And at the comic shop, I picked up the Free Comic Book Day Invincible edition. And I found in his magazines, there's a couple other magazines I wanted, but I only scoped out two that I went for. I've been trying to get as much Red Sonja as I can get. And most of the Marvel stuff I have with Red Sonja, I have her first appearance in Conan. I have all of her comics that are Red Sonja proper for Marvel. I have almost everything Dynamite. There might be a few issues I'm missing, but not a lot. And they had the Marvel Comics Super Special, which were usually movie adaptations, and this is the Red Sonja movie adaptation magazine. So I picked that up, and I don't know if I'm gonna read that or not for the podcast. Looks like it has more than an adaptation. Maybe the adaptation was two issues and this collects them both. We'll see. Yeah, it's the Red Sonja movie with Bridget Nielsen. I think Conan had an appearance in there briefly too, if I remember. I haven't seen that movie in forever. And then I picked up a Savage Tales Marvel magazine. This was after Savage Tales would be Savage Tales Volume 1 starring Conan. This is Savage Tales Volume 2. And I think there's only 7 issues, and I only own one other. And it was more a sci-fi type Road Warrior-ish magazine, black and white magazine. And I picked up number 2. And I left, but I should have rifled through more magazines. But that turned out to be some good stuff I picked up. And then Kickstarter wise came in the Punchline. I never ordered Punchline. The story with Punchline is when I was buying comics on Comixology for Monica, I don't like to just buy one thing, and I ended up buying a bunch of digital comics, and Punchline was one of those comics like Apocalypse Girl and a couple other things that went digital first, and then they became comics like Apocalypse Girl, this version of Apocalypse Girl. There's an Apocalypse Girl for Amigo, which me and Bill talked about on Geek Brunch, and then there's an Apocalypse Girl that came out digitally and then went to Source Point Press later. And there was Punchline at, and when I read it digitally, I might have been biased, but I didn't care for it as much as I did Apocalypse Girl. So I didn't get it when it came out on Antarctic Press. And I got a phone call that looks like a legit phone call, but I don't know if I should pick it up. It's hard to tell because my brother's camping. I think it's just a bogus call. I can never recognize my brother's call, and he doesn't have caller ID, and they call from several cell phones, and I don't think it's his number. I know it's not his number, but he has three numbers, his wife's number, his number, and then his house phone number. So I don't know. It could be. But I didn't pick it up. and I don't have anything on my cell phone yet from Freedom Honda to let me know what if they have all the parts for the recalls, because you got to schedule those appointments, make sure they have their parts. Man, my grass looks dry. What the hell is going on? Maybe it's a good week to mow, but it didn't grow much. We've had some rain, but we turned off the sprinklers. And maybe that wasn't such a good idea. I might have to run them manually. I did get from Silverline a flip book that is a Kickstarter. It's got Twilight Grimm number one, which looks pretty awesome. These Silverline books are really awesome. And then Divinity on the other side. And let's see. I'm gonna walk over. I got from Evolution Palm number one, Valhalla Awaits one and two, and Freaky Tales. I'm like all in on them. And then another flip book. I'll have to open up to see what the other side is, but this was a Kickstarter from Andy Smith, who you might know as Bart Sears' collaborator. They collaborated in CrossGen and a lot of other books together. Valiant, Exo Man of War. He draws a lot. They draw a lot alike. And I got Jungle Lords, which I'm looking forward to reading. And on the other side is a comic book called Ultra. Is Ultra drawn by Andy too? Yeah, story and art by Andy Smith. I don't know if Ultra had ever appeared before, but I mostly got it from the Jungle Comics. And then finally, Demigod came in, which was a hardcover collected edition, which was originally coming out on IDW from Animus Press. And still waiting for a phone call, so if I keep pausing, it's what I'm waiting for. And I need to get something to drink. I am parched. So, I think I'm gonna drink a strawberry banana naked juice. A nice celebratory Friday drink. I was drinking water, but man, I'm so parched that, believe it or not, water's the best thing for you. But man, my mouth is dry. Ah. I like those. We usually get those from Costco. So yeah, all that stuff came in. I think I mentioned everything that came in. There might be a few Kickstarters that I forgot, but that's where I'm at. And then I had a DCBS order earlier in the week. And I'm gonna have one late in the week because it says it's gonna arrive on Sunday, but man, it never arrives on Sunday. When they target a Sunday, it never arrives on Sunday. So if it says Sunday, it'll probably arrive on Monday or Tuesday. So we'll see where my DCBS order lands. It is weird though, because I usually help out with those previews calls. And I used to get previews from my LCS, but now that I get it through DCBS, it's a week late, so it's like I don't have as much time to make a previews video, not a video, but a previews recommendation for a comic book page. I might do one today, but chances are pointing to no. And I think what I'm going to go over now is comic books. And I'm doing that experiment where I don't write explanations of what the comic book was. So for June 15th through June 21st, I watched some movies, and I think they were all movies. I watched Southern Comfort, which is a story of the National Guard. I've seen this about three times. I really like it for some reason. When I was a kid, there was a pay-per-view station, and we had it for a little bit. It was like prior to even having HBO. It was called Limelight. And on that, I think it was either when we first got HBO with those little clicker boxes. I don't know if you remember them, but they would have a dial for three tiers, and like HBO would be on one tier, and you would click it to the middle, and then you select, you push down a button, and it would go to HBO. And I watched this movie called Southern Comfort, and for some reason in high school, or maybe it was junior high, I don't remember when we got HBO, but it really struck a chord with me, this movie. And I watched it a lot as a kid. Like, I recorded it and watched it. It's about a National Guardsman that go to Louisiana, and they go into the marshes of a swamp, and they're running an exercise in there, and it's like several soldiers with machine guns and blanks. They're running an exercise, and one jackass decides to fire his M16 with blanks at a bunch of Cajuns in the swamp. And they didn't take very kindly to that. So the rest of the movie, they are hunting down these guys. And it has one of the Carradine brothers, not the Carradine from Kung Fu, but one of his brothers. I can't think of his name. Not David Carradine. Keith Carradine. It has Keith Carradine and Powers Booth. And they're the two guys that are kind of left out of a whole platoon that gets hunted down. And it's interesting. It's a very interesting movie. So that's Southern Comfort. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think when I saw it originally, I would probably have said a 5 out of 5. And then I watched The Kid. And this is another Billy the Kid movie told through the perspective of a young boy that runs into Billy the Kid. So it's not like Young Guns, but it's a young kid that is trying to get away from an abusive father with his sister after the mother's killed by the father. And the boy kills the father and is hunted down by the father's brother, his uncle. So, and he runs into Patty Garrett and Billy the Kid. I wanted to see this at the theater, but I can't remember where I saw this. It must have been on Amazon Prime or Netflix. It was one of the two. My guess it was Amazon Prime. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. The next one that I watched was a Jesse James flick, which also starred the Carradine brothers. David Carradine, Keith Carradine, and there's another Carradine. And they started as the younger brothers. I mean, they played the younger brothers' parts, which were the guys that rode with Jesse James. Jesse James was he played by? They were two brothers. And then there was another faction of brothers that were played by Randy Quaid and Dennis Quaid. So it was weird because it like portrayed the brothers, and they were real acting brothers when they made this movie. And I really enjoyed this movie. I give it a 4 out of 5. And some of the horse stunts looked like, I don't know if this was before they said these horses are protected under, no animals were hurt. But man, there were some crazy horse stunts in this one. And then the 5 out of 5 movie was Just Mercy, which is based on a true story, which starred Vince from Friday Night Lights, and he was in the Fantastic Four and a bunch of other movies. He was He was the villain in Black Panther, but I can't remember the guy's name. I love him as an actor because of Friday Night Lights mostly. But Just Mercy was pretty damn good. Really sad that this guy was on death row and he did nothing. But the happiness part of it is they did get him out. So those were the movies that I watched. And then we had 20 comics, one Scout, one Marvel, 11 DC, six Dark Horse, and one AC. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s. We had Kyra, the alien jungle girl. This was decent. It was from Scout Comics. I love Jungle Girl comics. This was probably one of the weaker ones, but I don't know if it was a one shot. I can't remember because I haven't seen a number two. But I rated it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. I didn't really like it. The 4 out of 5s went to AC's Super Babes, which is kind of like a Femme Force, just an off take. There's currently two titles running, maybe three titles running at AC that I'm buying. There's Femme Force, Super Babes, and something else. And I can't remember what that other thing is. I really would like to get those Golden Age reprints, but man, those are comic size. I mean, they're like 100 page giants, but even more pages. They might be like 150 page giants, but they're $30, and that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of money, but they have like fantastic reprints in there. The other 4 out of 5 we covered on DC Spotlight. I'd recommend you go look for it. It's a podcast I do with Kyle. And we covered Aztec, the Ultimate Man. Believe it or not, you know, I kind of say I have almost every comic from 1973, which I do, but I don't have this. I have a few issues. I have the two issues that were involved with Batman. I must have, like, bought them off the shelf because Batman was on the cover, but never read the series. It read really well. Like, I really enjoyed it, which is why I gave it a 4 out of 5. And then we get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Captain America: The End. This was Eric Larson. Absolute fantastic story about everybody getting assimilated as Red Skulls and trying to destroy Captain America. Our Fighting Forces giant has a great unknown soldier through the years. That was a really probably the best story in the book. There is a Batgirl story about her in Afghanistan. There were several other stories. I was really surprised. I was worried that they weren't going to have any like World War II stories, but they did a really good job putting this thing together. And it's a damn shame there weren't any follow-ons because I would have ate it up. And this is kind of near the end when DC said these Walmart books were gonna not do them anymore, which is a damn shame because they are truly worth every single penny. You know, $5. So that was a 5 out of 5. And then Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter. This thing came out of the woodwork from Dark Horse. And it's like if Peter Vincent had his late night show. And then there's this reporter. She's kind of a drunk. And she's having issues. But the actor goes missing. And the brother's looking for somebody to replace the actor on this midnight like horror theater type thing, like kind of like Elvira, and it's Count Crawley, and he asks his sister to do it, and his sister debuts on there, and she's very rude and crude, but the fans loved her, like they love the change, and she becomes like an overnight hit. And then you learn about what's happening behind the scenes, that monsters are sort of real, that there's this zombie that's hunting her down. And it, oh my God, and the art is just fucking amazing. I don't have my database up to tell you who the artist is. Well, let me, right now, I can't have the database up and Sidekick at the same time. And what Sidekick is for Comic Base, it's a way for usually in the past with previous versions of Comic Base, I would have to leave it up to keep it fast because the loading time was incredible. It'd take forever to load the database. About 2 years ago, they improved that and it loads like immediately. But you can't teach an old dog new tricks because my brain's still conditioned to leave it up all the time. Well, when it's up, Sidekick doesn't run. And what Sidekick is it's a background app. And what that does is it does a couple things for you. It optimizes the database, which means that, as database indexes and all that stuff, they need to get cleaned every now and then and optimized and re-indexed. And what it so it'll have fast queries and stuff. An optimized database allows for that. Like, as the database, you make entries in the database, you get updates from the database, from the websites. It grows and grows and grows, and it needs to like compress that and then optimize the queries and stuff like that. That's what optimized database does. Save to cloud is a way to back up your database. So what it does is it backs up my database on their servers. So if something ever happened, I could reload the software and then have my database intact. And then, of course, there's the update database content. And what that does is that loads your weeklies, all your weekly books with the barcodes and everything, so you can scan them in. It loads all the images for the week or any updates to the images. And it also updates pricing and all that other stuff that might happen. There's a check for new sales and purchases. This checks for new sales from Atomic Avenue storefront. And new purchases, and then there's an item on there for post for sale on Atomic Avenue. I don't use those. I don't use it to sell, but I have bought from Atomic Avenue before. But like, you can right click on any of the object, and it'll go to the store on Atomic Avenue and say if it's available or not. It's a good choice. Atomic Avenue is kind of like, I usually go in this order. I look at My Comic Shop, I look at Atomic Avenue, and then I look at eBay. I usually go in that order because of pricing. Because eBay is usually the first to go up, like a cost to, if something goes hot, it usually goes up. It's probably the most current pricing, and because of that, you don't want to, when you're a buyer, you want to go to things when things aren't recognized as fast. So anyway, I'm in the middle of saving to the cloud. So that'll take a while because my upload speed is horrible. I really need to update my internet and go with Xfinity. I've just been slacking. We got Doomsday Clock 7 through 12. Amazing ending to that story. There was some incredible stuff there. Anytime they do the Watchmen, it's been nothing short of amazing. And I'm talking about everything that DC's done with them. It's just phenomenal, whether it's Alan Moore or not. Doomsday Clock is no exception. I love what they were doing with Firestorm. They involved Firestorm a lot. Superman was in the story quite a bit. Batman was involved. There was a lot going on with the new Rorschach and Dr. Midnight and Ozymandias. Really cool. I really loved it. They write Manhattan so well. It's like this godlike being. It's just amazing how it settles into the story. Then you had Marionette and what's his name? Mime, which are kind of like Punch and Jewel from the Charlton days. We have Ruby Falls, number 2 through 4. This is a small-time murder mystery that happened a long time ago with three generations of women. You have the daughter who is really doesn't have like a way forward in her life, but wants to solve this mystery that her grandmother witnessed, a murder. And then you have the mom who owns a bar, and she just wants what's best for her daughter, and she's separated from her husband. And it's just an amazing story by Anne Nesenti. There's something about Anne Nesenti that just lights my fire. Something about her writing, whether it be Daredevil or what is that, Clarion the Witch Boy, or any of the stuff that she writes, I just like. I don't know what it is. She's writing Seeds for Dark Horse. Hopefully that'll get going again. Yeah, so that was the five out of fives. The five out of fives were Captain America, The End, Our Fighting Forces Giant, Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight, Monster Hunter 2 through 4, Doomsday Clock 7 through 12, and Ruby Falls 2 through 4. Go to the next week, which is June 22nd, through June 28th. There were 13 comics, not a lot. I did watch a lot of movies. All four out of fives. We had Truck Stop Women. This is about a brothel at a truck stop, and these mob guys want to take over this woman's business, and it's a war between truck stops then. It's a real cheesy movie, kind of like Roger Corman-ish. It was a recommendation after I watched Big Bad Mama on Amazon Prime, with Angie Dickinson, Tom Skerritt, William Shatner in the first one, and then Angie Dickinson returns for Big Mama 2. This is post-depression era, or sort of around the depression, when alcohol's illegal, prohibition is going on. And she loses her husband, and even though the second movie doesn't like continue it, like it sort of does, 'cause she has two daughters, but they're not like the same actresses in the second one, and it's almost like everything in the first one's forgotten, because in the first one, Tom Skerritt sleeps with Angie Dickinson, both her daughters, and gets the youngest one pregnant. And then Captain Kirk comes into the picture, and he sleeps with Angie Dickinson and kind of takes Angie Dickinson away, and her attention's on him. And Tom Skerritt's very they're all bank robbers. He's very jealous and sleeps with the daughters. It's so weird. And then Big Mama 2 is Angie Dickinson getting revenge on a big banking mayor type guy, that killed her husband. But it's almost like the story's not the same as the first one. It's very weird in that. But she still has the two daughters, and one of the daughters falls in love with the mayor's son, and he actually joins the gang, the bank robbers. So it makes for an interesting paradigm. Makes for a good movie too. I really enjoyed Big Bad Mama, Big Bad Mama 2. I don't know if they're still available on Amazon Prime, but that's where you get it. Also on Amazon Prime, My Spy. This is a new Batista movie about a CIA agent that has to come back to the States and is kind of ridiculed for like he's a badass and he blew up like all the bad guys, but they didn't want the bad guys blown up, not all of them, because they're still trying to track down like nuclear weapons. And then he meets this girl, this woman and her daughter, and they're sort of like hiding from the uncle because the uncle's out to get them because they have something in their possession that they don't even know about, that the father was the brother of this guy, and he was doing bad things for him, and he like saved this device, and he needs that device to sort of put together this bomb. And it becomes a convoluted Kindergarten Cop. It's almost the same plot as Kindergarten Cop, just slightly different. But I'm a sucker for these movies. Really liked it. As a matter of fact, I saw it twice. I saw it once with Barb, and then once again with my parents. Okay, we'll start with the comics. We have four Alliance, one DC, six Kickstarter, and two Marvel. 3 out of 5 for Start Again. That's a Kickstarter. The art in Start Again is phenomenal, and the story is decent. But I think I find the story lacking, not because of the artwork. I mean, this guy can draw, and there's nudity in this book. There is nudity. It's about a guy with powers and another girl with powers, and they kind of come together, and it's just really weird. It's almost like you have to read the whole thing to sort of understand it, and it's still not over. But they like give you like hints of what's happening, but it's paced really weird, and that's the part of it that I don't care for. But I still like it. I give it a 3 out of 5, and this is my fourth Kickstarter from them, because there's a 1, 2, this was issue 3, and then there was an issue in between that wasn't part of Start Again, but was some backstory about the girl that's in this story. And it actually gave more information. Like, that was like a key issue because it sort of built the origin of the woman in the context of the story. It gave much needed story that should have been in the main series, in my opinion. That was a Kickstarter, a 4 out of 5. We then go into Krull number 2. This is the Marvel adaptation of the movie that was a big blockbuster flop, but became a cult favorite. And I've always remembered Krull. We've seen Krull gazillions of times. Mostly, I saw it at the theater and I loved it. And then I saw it like 7,000 times on HBO. And we always make fun of it. Me and Barb used to make fun of it because her stepdad, not stepdad, ugh. Yeah, her stepdad. He always would turn on Skrull, like Krull, and we'd watch it over and over again. And Soul Pact was a Kickstarter. That Krull issue, I don't have number one, believe it or not. I might have the magazine of Krull, but I don't have number one. But Joe Crawford, co-host on DC Everything Else podcast with me, sent me Krull number 2, and I took it because I wanted it. I still want number one to finish. I read it. I gotta sneeze. Hold on. My allergies or the pollen counts over here are really high. And what happens is Harley goes outside, rolls around in the grass, comes in, all that stuff's all over the place, and then I start sneezing. Soul Pact, that was kind of like a demon type story Kickstarter from Evolution. Excellent. I enjoy all their stories. The next one's Babylon Working. That was even better. That's like a sci-fi type story about women, bounty hunters kind of thing. And it's like a heist type story. Then I read Supergirl Department of Transportation number one that was given out at Honda dealerships, which I'm still waiting for Honda to call me back. Maybe they're waiting for me to talk about Supergirl. And this is about wearing seat belts. And it's kind of a crazy story because this guy goes into a coma and Supergirl has to go into the Fortress of Solitude and use this machine that'll allow her to transfer into this guy's mind to try to wake him up. Because he was supposed to drive his sister to the movies, and he not through his own fault, but somebody ran a red light and hit him, and he's like, he told his sister early on the issue, "I don't need to wear my seatbelt. Yeah, there you'll it'll trap me. I want to be able to be free." Well, because he didn't wear a seatbelt and the girl did wear a seatbelt, she was safe and waiting for her brother to come out of his coma in the hospital. But anyway, Supergirl has to use this device to help things on. Tracy Queen, Volume 2, is about a woman that has become very sexual in the interwebs and on the dark web. And she eventually goes into like prostitution with her raccoon friend, which and he's really a raccoon. Like he's a raccoon that's cybernetic. He's almost like Rocket Raccoon. And she lives in a warehouse type thing with her uncle, and her uncle's a bad person. He's into all kinds of crimes and prostitution and all kinds of stuff. And she has to deal with all this. But Tracy Queen is very entertaining. It is for adults, but it's not as it has sexual themes and some nudity and a lot of sex and drugs, but it doesn't seem that nasty, even though it kind of is. It's not like Cherry Pop Tart or some of the other ones I got, like Surfer Girl Kickstarter, which I'll talk about at some point, and yeah, it's kind of tame. Atomic Hercules has a lot of sexual things in it. I really like it. This is Volume 2. I really like the first one. I found it very unique for a Kickstarter, and that's why I keep buying these. We got Marvel Snapshot Captain America. That was excellent. That Marvel Snapshot is like a tribute to Kirk Busiek's Marvels. This one was a Mark Russell told story about a kid that sort of worked with his father on electronics at a TV shop, and then like a terrorist act goes on, AIM agents, and then he eventually gets involved with AIM because they're willing to pay for his schooling and everything, and his father's shop was destroyed, and it's kind of him seeing through him and then getting involved with Cap. But Cap, the story is told through his perspective. That's what Marvel's is. It's about like from the reporter's eyes or through this person's eyes. It's kind of like Astro City is you don't learn from the hero's eyes, you learn from the regular human's eyes what this is all about. What's going on? It was excellent. Mark Russell. Le Fay number one and two. Excellent story. I was so glad to get these. And this one, they messed up my Kickstarter. They sent me two number twos. So I wrote him an email and he knows that it's Evolution. He knows that I support everything. He actually sent me a replacement, even with a freebie comic. I did get one and two, and I had two number twos. But it's like Morgan Le Fay in modern times, like these witches brought her back, and they seem to have bad motives. And she hangs out with like this little troll-like creature, and she's trying to to become empowered again and not have to deal with she owes these witches and stuff and she's trying to pay her debt and become a free woman, Morgan Le Fay. And it is really good and the art is top notch. And then we get those 5 out of 5. And then I rated all of Alliance's 5 out of 5 in this order. Bass Reeves, number 1, which is a Western based on a true character, Bass Reeves. He's a marshal that sort of brought in a lot of criminals, and he's black and in the Oklahoma territories. And it's a very interesting story. I already read number 2, by the way, which involves his son more. The Futurist, number 1, this is sort of like in the 1800s in India. There's like some supernatural stuff and seances that are going on. And that is really interesting. And that has Butch Geist art. And it is beautiful. Oh, man. Nora Saga, a very good story about a girl who gets into a car accident. The characterization between her and her father is just phenomenal. She lost her mom to a car accident. There's some supernatural stuff going on where she ends up in, if I remember correctly, like the Viking days. It's been a while since I read it, and I don't take notes anymore, so it's all from memory. And then we had Red Rooster, which is like a superhero in the 30s. This is right up my alley. That was number one book. So the 5 out of 5s go to Tracy King, Marvel Snapshot, Captain America, Le Fay, 1 and 2, Bass Reeves, number 1, The Futurist, number 1, Nora Saga, number 1, and Red Rooster, number 1. All 5 out of 5s. All comic books not in an LCS, except for that Marvel's snapshot. We have 3 Kickstarters and 4 Walmart books. There you go. That'll take us to June 29th through July 5th. And there was a lot of comics that week. The movies were The Arena. What was this one about? Oh, this was like Spartacus with females. And the Sisterhood was about a futuristic society where there's like these Amazon women and they're treated like witches. But anyway, there's this group of men that want to hunt down all the women and make them slaves. But each one has like a unique power. Like this, the main character, the one woman that's can talk to like birds. And then there's one that could has telepathy. And then there's one that, oh man, I can't remember what the third one could do. But it's like in this post-apocalyptic world, no matter one scene, they're searching for war weapons. Like they find like a fallout shelter in a military base, and they get like this tank from it. So it's like very futuristic. It's pretty cool. I can't remember if they call them like war wagons or what do they call them. So that's 4 out of 5s for The Arena and The Sisterhood. The 5 out of 5 was I marathon through Looney Tunes, the HBO Max. I thought it was phenomenal. The only weird thing is they tend to have no guns. So you have like these stories with Yosemite Sam and Elmer Fudd with no guns, and it's very weird because Yosemite Sam's usually firing these pistols, and Elmer usually has a shotgun with them going after bugs. But they have other weapons. They'll shoot cannons, they'll knives, everything. I don't know what it's going on, but it's very good. They have just as much violence on the Roadrunner and Coyote episodes. Those are really good. And then they had a Ralph, which is kind of like the coyote and the sheepdog. That was awesome. They have a Daffy Duck and Porky Pig teaming up a lot. There's some Foghorn Leghorn episodes. It was really good. I think there were 10 episodes in the entirety. Each episode contains like 3 episodes. There's usually one that's 8 minutes, one that's 2 minutes, and then another one that's 8 minutes. So it's very strange, but it's kind of like a half hour show, which equates to like 20 minutes, 20 some minutes, if it had commercials. And then we get into the comics. We had a total of 43 comics. That's more like it. 37 Marvel, 5 Image, and 1 Aftershock. I went on a Marvel tear. I read Arrow number 6 through 9. I've really enjoyed this series, and it starts focusing on her relationship with her boyfriend and the one woman that's kind of like her mentor boss who turns out to be evil. Agents of Atlas number 5, it kind of wraps up this story and then it goes into Atlantis Attacks. It's very weird because it started on War of the Realms, it went to this series, and it still didn't conclude, and now it's going to Atlantis Attacks. But it's been a really interesting story about this like city that's developed by this corporation, and they have technologies to like merge different cities in there and grab people. It's very unique, and it involves a lot of Asian character superheroes that came out of like Future Fight comics. Lunar or Luna, Crescent, and the bear. I can't remember what the bear's name is, but Swordmaster, Arrow. There's a ton of them. Wave. I enjoyed it. And it's Agents of Atlas, third volume. It has Amadeus Cho, not Spider-Gwen, but the other one. I can't think of her name. Empire Avengers number 0. This is the prelude to the Avengers story. There actually was one prior to this, The Road to the Avengers, which I liked even more than Empire Avengers. Empire Avengers is kind of like the Avengers going to the moon and meeting with those creatures, which are the third party, which you'll find out how they're involved. They're like the plant creatures that were around the Krees and the Skrull times. We have the 4 out of 5's Heart Attack number 1. That was a cool Image comic. We have Morbius the Living Vampire 2 through 5. That was a cool short-lived series. It looks like it's said to be continued, but I haven't seen a solicit for anything else, so maybe they canceled it during COVID. Top Dog number 7. I continue to marathon through these Top Dogs on the app. I don't actually own them. They're really entertaining comics from Marvel Star imprint. Amazing Spider-Man number 6 through 16 and 35 through 43. Yep, I started reading the current issues around 35 and have enjoyed it so much that I said I'm gonna go to the basement and dig out as much as I can. And I just wanted to read Spider-Man, and Nick Spencer's story was really working for me. And it's so global that it reads really well. Maybe not so much monthly, but it reads really well when you can just like march through. Gave it a 4 out of 5. And then we get to the 5 out of 5, Space Bandits. Incredible story involving two women that were betrayed by significant others or their teams and had to go to jail for it. And it's a revenge story about them getting out of jail and then getting back at the gang or their loved ones. Really good sci-fi. Highly recommend it. This is from Mark Millar, and I just got a text or something. No. So, yeah, Mark Millar. So hopefully we'll get a Netflix show on that. Marvel Snapshot Namor number 1. This was a really cool issue about Namor back in the States and his girlfriend that's there, kind of told through her point of view. Really liked it. Star Wars Bounty Hunters. I love this comic so much. I read 1 through 3 that I asked Barb, I said, can we please get a Disney Plus account so I can watch Mandalorian? I just adored this comic, and I can't wait for number 4. I want to read it right away. The art is amazing too. It involves something that happens in the past where all these bounty hunters were supposed to protect this prince, and everything goes south. And it is so good. And then The Road to Empire, The Kree-Skrull War, number 1. I really like this one. I really like this one. This was the first issue that came out of Road. Incoming was sort of the first, and then this one. I really like this one. I've been enjoying Empire. I'm up to date, up to, although I didn't read last week's books, maybe I'll marathon through those today. Fantastic Four Grim Noir. This was a one-shot about the Thing and Alicia. Well, it's mostly the Thing trying to figure out a girl that went missing that is across the building in another building, and she used to sing, and all of a sudden she goes away, and it involves demons and all kinds of stuff. Really cool story. And the 5 out of 5, the last one's from Aftershock, Dead Day number 1, which is a crazy concept. It's sort of like every 3 years this day comes back, the dead can come back alive and they can talk and do stuff. And some of them are peaceful and some of them are like ex-prisoners trying to get at the cops at the prison. You know, it could be really harmful. So it varies in different forms of degree. Aftershock has been kicking some ass. They really have. I think, oh, I skipped a week. No, I didn't. The next one was a short week of comics, July 6th through July 12th. I had two movies, The Old Guard, which was based on a comic by Greg Rucka. Loved it, saw it with my family. I went back home that weekend. I watched a lot of movies with them. I watched The Old Guard. I gave it a 4 out of 5. And I watched Lady and the Tramp and gave that a 4 out of 5. This was the live action Lady of Tramp. I think it went direct to Disney Plus. I don't think it was ever at the theaters. It was really good. There were a total of 18 comics that week, 11 Marvel, 1 Image, and 6 DC. The 4 out of 5s went to Negan Lives. Really good follow-up to The Walking Dead, even though I never finished The Walking Dead, so I'll have to go back at some point finishing it. But I really like Negan. I am caught up on the TV shows Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead, and I love the actor that plays Negan. Like he's the comedian in there, and he's in the movie The Losers. I just love that guy. And then the 4 out of 5s go to Amazing Spider-Man Volume 5, 16.1, 17.1, 18.1, and 19.1. And then issues 17 through 24. So I'm pretty much caught up on Spider-Man now. I like marathon the whole series since the beginning. And these point ones, sorry, these point ones were the best issues. They really were. They focused on villains. Whether it be like Overdrive or Vulture or Kraven, or it was amazing. They were amazing stories. Like Amazing Spider-Man, amazing enemy stories, villains. And then the 5 out of 5 goes to The Question, Volume 1, 1 through 6. And we were covering this on DC Spotlight. And The Question is phenomenal. I can read this. This is already my second time in the same year reading it. That's how much I liked it. It won the contest, and I was trying to focus on Denny O'Neil that week, so I had picked Hard Traveling Heroes and The Question 1 through 6, and The Question 1 through 6 won, and I had just read 1 through 4 8 months ago, and then I read this again, and there's so many dimensions to it that I just love it. I love this question. Oh man, Denny O'Neil and Dennis Cohen. Holy crap. So then we get into the final week, which is July 13th through July 19th. total of 20 comics. We had 13 Marvel, 4 DC, and 3 Aftershock. The two movies were Stripped to Kill. It's about a murderer that's attacking strippers at a strip joint, and then it has a surprising twist at the end. This one stars Norman Fell, and if you know that name, you're old like me, and he was one of the ropers in Three's Company. He was the man. He owns the strip club. And then, if you're old like me, you might remember a TV show. I can't remember the guy's name, somebody Everett, but he is BJ and the Bear, if you remember BJ and the Bear. He was in it, and he plays one of the cops. He's teamed up with a female cop that goes undercover at the strip club to find out why these girls are getting murdered. And then Palm Springs was recommended to me from Reed. I don't know if he listens to Mike M's, but I know he's a Geek Brunch guy. And Reed is a good friend that we met through podcasting, and I've met personally probably about 3 or 4 times at Heroes Con. Unfortunately, there wasn't a Heroes Con this year because of COVID. But he's one guy that I met at a con, and I think he's the one that recognized my voice, and he said, "Hey, Mike," and introduced himself. And then I saw him in subsequent years. And then there was one year where I didn't see him, but we ran into each other at Mertz, which is like a soul food place. So he recommended to me Palm Springs. And what this is a Hulu movie. And it's kind of like a Groundhog Day at this resort where a woman is getting married, and it involves the woman's sister and another character that are caught in a time loop that keep reliving the same day over and over again. It's really well done and very entertaining, especially if you like movies like Groundhog Day. The 5 out of 5s were Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. I watched that again on Disney Plus, and it was only my second time. I really enjoy that movie. Even though I like the second one the best. I don't know. There's something about that Poe Dameron scene and when he's attacking that whole Star Destroyer. And then the bombers, like the bombers that actually bomb those destroyers. And I like that they're being tracked and they can like find where they're at. I like the second one the best. This one's really good though. Mandalorian is a 5 out of 5. I watched some of these with my parents. And then I came home and watched the rest. I had Barb catch up on them, and then we just marathoned through them. I absolutely love the series. It's like a Western. It's like if you watch if you read the cables, I think it was Dwayne Szczesny's run on Cable where he was protecting Baby Hope. It kind of reminded me of that. Because the Mandalorian's sort of there and he's protecting Baby Yoda, and it is so damn cool. And to see the effects is amazing, like what they did with that IG-88. This was a different IG, but the robot bounty hunter, holy mackerel, man. The way he's shooting those lasers, shit. And the way they introduced the Mandalorians, I wanted to read more Mandalorians. As a matter of fact, Dennis Chandler sent me a list of comics that I should seek out that had Mandalorians in it from Dark Horse. So, we then get into the comics. The 3 out of 5s were Hawkeye Generation. This is kind of like Kate meets a younger version of Hawkeye. Generations was like the old character meeting the younger one in a different time. And I'm getting some texts from my co-hosts. And Ant-Man 1 through 3, it was Marvel. I wanted to like this one more than I did. It's kind of like a light-hearted story, and It's good, but it wasn't great. And I'll finish it up to see how it is because this was one that they canceled due to COVID. But then they came back and they said, no, we're going to publish these eventually in print. So Ant-Man will finish up. And then Birds of Prey number one was the Brian Azzarello DC comic. This one I wanted to like more too than I originally did. I thought it was going to be, the art was beautiful. Lupicella, Emanuela Lupicella, I believe. But it just seemed like it came out of the movie and it was sort of templated to be from the movie. Whereas I think the one that Harlequin and the one that's being written by Palmiotti and Connor is much better. I'd recommend that one over this Birds of Prey. This one I think was supposed to be a series. And for some reason, I don't know if it's the performance of Birds of Prey or that it wasn't ready in time or what, they pulled the plug on it. They turned it into a deluxe formatted black label, which I think was originally intended to be 3 issues, maybe more, because it sort of ended like harsh. Like it built the story, and then it like went off a steep cliff, like just to finish it up, and it felt rushed. The 4 out of 5s go to Deadpool 2 through 5. I like the change of artists. Bacala, who did Generation X, is drawing this. He does Spider-Man a lot. He's hit or miss, and sometimes his abstraction is very distracting to me. But as I read it, I became more and more of a fan. And then they switched to another artist. But this is like when Deadpool becomes King of the Monsters in New York City, and I'm talking about all the monsters. And it involves Alyssa Bloodstone, which I absolutely love her character. So the fact that she's in the book, I think, is what boosted the book to a 4 out of 5. We have Artemis the Assassin. I originally gave number one a 3 out of 5, but this is getting better with each issue. So it's really cool. 5 out of 5, Strange Adventures, 1 through 1 and 2 from Tom King. This title has really lit a fire. I'm starting to understand Tom, I think. I'm starting to understand his writing and appreciate it more. I don't know, I just read his Batman City of Bane and I enjoyed the shit out of it. And I've criticized his Batman writing in the past, and I wasn't crazy about Mr. Miracle either, but I might change. And he's messing with a character I really like, Adam Strange. But my favorite one is that Kubert one. I can't remember who wrote it. That deluxe formatted 3 issue. We covered it on DC Spotlight. God, I love that Adam Strange more than anything. That's my favorite one because he, and that's what Tom is kind of playing with, is that is Adam Strange a real hero? And in that older series, he's sort of a womanizer. They're using him. They can't have kids, and they find out he can, so they're using him as a sperm bank. This isn't Tom King's run. This is the older one. And then you start to doubt whether he's like a true hero or not one, and kind of doing that with this ambiguity in Tom's run too, which I kind of like. Sardath is crazy as fuck as ever. I like a crazy Sardath. And is their dot in Tom King's run, is the daughter alive or not? It's really cool shit. And I didn't do a write-up on this, so this is all from memory. Hawkeye Freefall 1 through 5. This is a story that involves Hawkeye going after a villain that I really like, the Hood. Bendis sort of brought him to my attention. And the Hood had really grown on me. He even had his own series for a little bit, and I think Kyle Holtz did the art on the Hood. But this series is, he has the voice of the faction run. I think this is Rosenberg, if I remember correctly, and I like that. And he's got like Kate down too, and I like that. And I like the way he's writing the Hood. I really like it. And the way he involves his alter ego Ronin and Hawkeye together, it's amazing. Another 5 out of 5 is Join the Future. This just goes crazy as that city of heaven, technology and stuff sort of attacks that small town, and all that's left is the daughter now, and it's doesn't look good. Undone by Blood, number 3. This is the murder mystery of the girl who's tracking down the guy that killed her family, and all she knows about is his boots. This I love this series, and part of the story is her tracking them down, and she gets beat up a lot. Like, she's going through a lot of shit. But it also involves a story she's reading about a cowboy western, and he's looking for his son, and he lost his wife recently, and he's going on this journey trying to find his son, somebody that took him. And that book is kind of like motivating her, it looks like. I love that story. It's so good. And that sort of wraps up this episode. So I'm getting really caught up. Like, if I do another episode next week, I will be caught up. And not writing down descriptions. Yeah, I don't remember all the details like I used to. But I'm starting to think I like it. For one thing, it's like I have to recall the highlights, and even if it's just one. But I sort of dig it. And, see, I read. I think that it's like I missed a week. Oh no, I did. No, that was the Batman. I spent a lot of time catching up on Batman. But this has been a fun episode, and it's Friday, and I might get to walk Harley again if she wants to go for a walk. If it doesn't, it shouldn't rain, but it's hot. It's like 95 today. Really dry. And I don't know if I'm gonna do it or not, or I stay in here with the air conditioner on and sit down and read something. I do want to do a lot of comic maintenance this week because we have guests coming soon, and that's gonna involve a lot of work on my part. So that's where everything's at. I wanted to look up Ultra. I know Ultra was a comic book. I don't have the database up. All right, because of the sidekick. Oh, sidekick's done. I can bring it up. I just wanted to look up Ultra to see if that character exists. The Ultra that I know of is from the Luna Brothers and not from Andy Smith, but I wanted to. So there's a couple Ultras. There's Ultra, and that's the Lunar Brothers. That's an amazing series. That might have been their first series. There's like 6 issues from Image Comics, 8 issues. There's another Ultra. And that one's from the Ultrist, from 2004, and it looks like some kind of. It says Spud and Harry, the story tells a flip book format. It includes a color insert. Looks like a comedy type book. So no, there's no Ultra before this. So I thought maybe IDW would have published something, but from Ominous Press, but there's nothing. So thought I'd look. But you can reach me. The best way to reach me is mike@comicbooknoise.com on email, and the actual best way to reach me is on Twitter because I check it daily at Mike Myers Brunch. The website is Geek Brunch Podcast. Also, check out the other site, DC Noise Podcast, where you can get two different types of podcasts. You can get the DC Spotlight Podcast and the DC Everything Else Podcast. So, the Spotlight is usually about us talking about an older book and a newer book. And then the DC It may even involve a DC movie or something from DC Universe. And then DC everything else is anything that's non-superheroes up for grabs. We could talk about DC War, DC Romance, DC Sci-Fi, DC Western, anything that's non-superhero. So that's what the DC Everything Else podcast is, DCNoisePodcast.com. So if you like to hear my awful voice and you want to hear more of it, that's where you can catch it. And this one's on GeekBrunchPodcast.com, where you can find Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner, Mike M's Kickstarter podcast. I forget what it's called. It's like the CCPD podcast or something like that. And I think that wraps it up. I hope you guys have a good weekend. This will probably be released when you are almost heading towards the weekend. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.